So today is the day devoted to this great man, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it's always interesting, you know, if I try to pick a theme related to the day. So I found myself meditating on this particular quote of Dr. King. "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." And so that really got me thinking about who are we? Who are we in moments of comfort and convenience? And who are we in moments of challenge and controversy? And are those different? And, you know, how do I feel about myself in comfort and convenience versus myself in challenge and controversy? You know, I certainly think there's this tendency that we all have, this ego tendency of wanting to be judged when we're at our very best. You know, like, for example, right now we've just sat 40 minutes of meditation, we're all calm and open-hearted and loving, and, you know, it's like part of us wants to say, "Hey, world, this is who I am right here," you know? And meanwhile, other times when we're out there in the world and, you know, something tweaks us and we flip our lid and that sort of thing, we'd kind of like the world not to judge us on that, you know? And we might even use excuses after it's over, like, "Yeah, when that happened, that wasn't really me," you know? And we kind of separate ourselves from that a little bit. And so it's fascinating, you know, where do we really locate who we are, and is who we are big enough to include all of these things? Because a lot of life is uncomfortable, you know, it's just the nature of life. Among other things, growth is uncomfortable, you know. For example, if you think of something like the process of puberty, you know, we're all very glad to have gone through puberty, but it wasn't necessarily the most pleasant thing to go through, you know. And in that way, it's really paradigmatic of all growth that it's, you know, growth is not necessarily the most comfortable place to be. And there's usually great rewards for having gone through a growth process, you know. And the question is, how comfortable are we at being uncomfortable, you know? How comfortable are we leaning into that edge of discomfort that growth requires? You know, and part of what I was thinking about is, you know, how would we build that skill in many ways? You know, certainly the more we have the experience of leaning into the edge of discomfort and then getting rewards from it, the more likely we are to do it again. I find there's also interesting dynamics around whether we're in our power and to what extent we give our power away. You know, and certainly victim narratives are... you know, anything like that is a very good way to give one's power away, you know. And if I'm wrapped up in some victim narrative, you know, like, well, life is already hard and why won't all these bad things happen to me? You know, if I'm already there, then I'm not going to be predisposed to leaning into any more discomfort, you know. I'm going to be defended against, you know, giving up the what I perceive as the scarce amount of comfort that I already have. And really, I would say the opposite of something like a victim narrative status, I would call, is a view of radical self-responsibility. Really, this idea of when I look at my life, all the issues that I'm facing throughout my life, that's all stuff for me to work on. You know, I have those issues because there's some edge in me that I have yet to cross, you know. I'm having struggles with this person or struggles with this situation, you know, not because that person is bad or this situation is wrong so much as I need to grow into this more, you know. And so certainly some of the discomfort in life comes from growth. Some of the discomfort in life just comes from life itself. I mean, there's illness and financial concerns and, you know, a thousand ways life has of making us uncomfortable that we, you know, just when we thought we saw them all, life hands us a few more, you know, that kind of thing. And there's also a way that, of course, the gist of the quote from Dr. King, it's not merely about my own personal growth process. It's about the challenge and controversy that exists in our world. I do not think it's exaggerating to say that we live in a time of controversy, you know. And it's very tricky because we live in a very divided society, a society where each camp is kind of entrenched in this idea of we're right, you guys are wrong, you know, and like both sides robustly have that narrative going already, you know. And so it's particularly challenging. Dr. King lived at a time of controversy, but in his time of controversy, there were people who genuinely did not get his point of view, and part of his power was to be able to articulate his point of view, and he did so quite eloquently. And we live in a very different time, you know, like articulating our point of view at this point, like we're past that. Like there's in a way no benefit to that, you know, because the other side is just not interested in hearing, you know. And I find this time of, you know, as I think about the controversy in this time and what it requires, I think it requires all of us really to drop that much more into our own humanity. You know, that much more into our own compassion. What is the part of me that is so deeply human that it is beyond all controversy, you know? And can I relate from that place? What are the divisions within me? You know, and can I, you know, cross those divisions? You know, here we, you know, some of our discussions are about building walls. And, you know, one side thinks walls are a great idea. And the other side thinks, no, we shouldn't have any walls. Well, what are the walls inside of me? You know, and can I, what are the walls that I have built up inside of me? And can I, as it were, tear down those walls? You know, one of the issues in the larger world is about inclusion, you know, and who is included. Do we include, you know, refugees or homeless or prisoners or, you know, whatever? Well, how inclusive am I to myself? You know, how inclusive am I to every broken voice within me, every imprisoned voice within me, you know? You know, part of the dialogue is about boundaries and about, you know, guarding boundaries and, you know, how good are my own boundaries, you know? And so I think it's a time, you know, Gandhi's favorite dictum, you know, be the change you wish to see in the world. I think there's so many ways that we are called to embody deeply the change that we would like to see in the world. So I'll share the quote sheet. I always have a quote sheet. I'm a teacher, so I always have handouts. Yeah. So at the top, I have the quote from Dr. King. This great quote from Mencius. Mencius is the number two guy in the Confucius tradition. He's sometimes called the second sage, with the understanding that, of course, Confucius was the first sage. He's also been called the man that added a heart quality to the Confucian tradition. He really is. He's quite an extraordinary writer. And so Mencius said, When heaven is about to confer a great office on any man, it first exercises his mind with suffering, his sinews and bones with toil. It exposes his body to hunger and subjects him to extreme poverty. It confounds his undertaking. By all these methods, it stimulates his mind, hardens his nature, and supplies his incompetencies. And this whole idea that when we're going through a really, really rough time, maybe it's not because we're screwing up. Maybe it's not because God hates us. Maybe we're actually being prepared for something, you know? The wise philosopher Seneca said, "Difficulties strengthen the mind as labor does the body." The playwright Molière said, "The greater the obstacle, the more glory in overcoming it." One of my favorite Helen Keller quotes, "Security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experiencing it. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all." And it flies in the face of our neuroticism, you know, this way that I think, well, if I plan everything, then I can keep safe, you know, and it's just, I mean, this is life, you know. This blunt one from Ezra Pound. "If a man isn't willing to take some risk for his opinions, either his opinions are no good or he's no good." Eva Le Gallienne says, "Innovators are inevitably controversial." Robert Heinlein says, "Don't handicap your children by making their lives easy." Wow. The environmentalist Edward Abbey says, "How could anything non-controversial be of intellectual interest to grown-ups?" And I never know how to pronounce this guy's name, but the guy who wrote Flow. "Contrary to what we believe, moments like these, the best moments of our life, are not passive, receptive, relaxing times, although such experiences can also be enjoyable if we have worked hard to attain them. The best usually occur when a person's body or mind is stretched to its limits in a voluntary effort to accomplish something difficult and worthwhile. Optimal experience, thus, is something that we make happen. For a child, it could be placing with trembling fingers that last block on the tower she has built, higher than any other she has built so far. For the swimmer, it could be trying to beat his own record. For the violinist, mastering an intricate musical passage. For each person, there are thousands of opportunities, challenges to expand ourselves." Neil Donald Walsh simply says, "Life begins at the end of your comfort zone." The Dalai Lama says, "To remain indifferent to the challenge we face is indefensible. If the goal is noble, whether it is realized in our lifetime is largely irrelevant. What we must do, therefore, is strive and persevere and never give up." The author Paul Coelho says, "When we least expect it, life sets us a challenge to test our courage and willingness to change. At such moments, there's no point in pretending that nothing has happened or in saying we're not ready. The challenge will not wait. Life does not look back. A week is more than enough time for us to decide whether or not to accept our destiny." Barbara Marcianek says, "Sometimes the darkest challenges, the most difficult lessons, hold the greatest gems of light." Randy Pausch, in his famous last lecture, said, "The brick walls are there for a reason. The brick walls are not there to keep us out. The brick walls are there to give us a chance to show how badly we want something, because the brick walls are there to stop the people who don't really want it badly enough. They're there to stop the other people." Wow. Steve Goodyear says, "Those who overcome great challenges will be changed, and often in unexpected ways. For struggles enter our lives as unwelcome guests, but they bring valuable gifts. And once the pain subsides, the gifts remain. These gifts are life's true treasure, bought at a great price, but cannot be acquired in any other way." Steve Maraboli says, "Happiness is not the absence of problems, it's the ability to deal with them." Rochelle E. Goodrich says, "No one is without trouble, without personal hardship and genuine challenge. That fact may not become obvious because most people don't advertise their woes and heartaches, but nobody, not even the purest heart, escapes life without suffering battle scars." Israel Moore of Iver says, "Those who mistrust their own abilities are being too wicked to themselves, discouraging themselves from doing what they should have been excelling in. If you're good at discouraging yourself, you can't be a good leader, because leadership is built on inspiring others to face challenges." Roy T. Bennett says, "The comfort zone is a psychological state in which one feels familiar, safe, at ease, and secure. You never change your life until you step out of your comfort zone. Change begins at the end of your comfort zone." Manoj Arora says, "Coming out of your comfort zone is tough in the beginning, chaotic in the middle, and awesome in the end, because in the end it shows you a whole new world. Make an attempt." And Charles Glassman says, "Fear and anxiety many times indicate that we're moving in a positive direction, out of the safe confines of our comfort zone, in the direction of our true purpose."